Let's all take a deep breath. And as we do, we pay attention to the places in our bodies that may be holding some tension. And send a breath to those places. Your shoulders, arms, hands. Just imagine a rain, a gentle spring rain of grace moving through your body. So often we're accustomed to working hard and moving fast, and today's meditation is about pausing, focused on making a choice to go slower. Notice the thoughts that move through your mind now. And pause before judging. Another deep breath and pause before assuming. Another deep breath and pause before speaking. Pause before accusing. Pause whenever you are about to react. And you will avoid doing and saying things that you may regret. So this holy time of meditation teaches us to make space between our thoughts and our actions. Think about our brother and way-shower, Jesus Christ, who took time to pause, time in the desert, time in the boat, and as we pause, we bless. Let's bless everyone in this room this morning. Everyone who came here to contribute their love, their energy, their enthusiasm, their stories. And feel that experience of blessing moving through this room. Now think for a moment of someone you love, someone you know, someone you're praying for, someone in the world who is not here today. And send blessing forward to that person or persons. And as you no doubt often do, think about a place in the world that needs our prayers right now. And pause to send love and blessing there. You may want to name that place you're thinking of as a prayer. So if you do, just speak those places out loud, those places we embrace in prayer, like Syria or North Korea, like Detroit and Los Angeles, all those places. Pausing to bless, pausing to be grateful, reflecting on someone who has been generous with you and gracious with you. Someone who's been a teacher for you. Thank you. Thank you, teacher. Thank you, loved one. Someone who has challenged you. Thank you. And thank you, role models. We have so many. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, parents. Thank you, Dr. King. Thank you, neighbors. And as we sit in this space of blessing and gratitude, imagine that your heart, the doors of your heart, are open for whatever lesson Spirit is sending to you today. I am open and receptive to God's living Spirit of Truth. I am open and receptive to God's living Spirit of Truth. And so we pause now to just listen. Now you may want to wiggle your toes and your fingers and take a breath. And we thank you, God, for being with us, for for moving through us, for being all around us on this beautiful day, for creating us and placing us in this community, and for the practice of pausing and listening and being grateful. And so together we say, thank you, God. Together, thank you, God. Amen. I think you just did my talk, so I'm going to leave now. That was really beautiful. Thank you. Hi. It's been a long time since I've seen you all, and I'm delighted to be here. I sailed down the freeway this morning with very little traffic. Thank you, God. And not very many police cars. Thank you, God. It was a pleasure. And then I arrive here and I see an elevator. Thank you, God. And I notice that you have a spiritual leader in your midst. Thank you, God. So a lot's happened since I've been here. I don't even know how long ago it was, but it seems like a long time. And great good is in store for you all. I'm so delighted. So today, I'd like to tell you, too, that I sold my house. Somebody asked me, it might have been, what was it you? Oh, yeah, so anyway, my house got sold. So that's another thank you, God, because that was a big, giant house, 5 bedrooms, 3 baths for 2 people. Really? What was I thinking, you know? I tried to figure it out. I tried to say, oh, God wants me to have students from the community college here. You know, I tried that. And, oh, God wants me to have a renter down the basement, and let's make it an apartment. I tried that. I finally sold the house. Thank you, God. So have you noticed a change in how you feel this week? With a little more light and a little more sunshine sometimes. Do you notice yourself feeling a little bit differently, as if there's a chance for something beyond the rain and the darkness? Doesn't that feel good? You know, when you finish the day and you go outside and there's still light. Thank you, God, for that one. The limited scope of winter. So I went for my first bike ride of 2018. I can't believe it's taken me this long, but it did. And I went for a few miles with a friend of mine, and it was so invigorating, that light. You know, the light, and to see the daffodils just starting to come out. Somebody said to me, all of a sudden, it's spring. It's like, it's supposed to be like this. Like Cindy said, yeah, it's like you wish that it was the first day of spring. Anyway, that light and the company of a friend and the freshness of the air made such a difference, so I know it makes a difference for me when we have that light in us acknowledged outside of us, right? Do you feel that? Amen. So this Lenten time, we're now in the sixth week of Lent, and I think someone mentioned it's Palm Sunday, so put your palms up. Amen. It's one of the most potent times of the year, I think. When the darkness begins to break up and the promise of something new is in front of us. You may have noticed those hellebores in your yard. How many people have hellebores? I'm sorry to belabor this, but I'm really excited. The light's coming, new life is evident. Symbolically, this light, these buds, represent something internal, don't they? And every year we get this opportunity to discover, oh, right, there's a part of me that's coming to life again. There's a part of me that's healing again. There's a part of me that's new again. We are all offered this light. Every day we are offered this light. We've been told that somebody once said, you might have heard this, that we are the light of the world. We are the light of the world. We've been told we're the light of the world, but I have to say that during times of darkness, I don't always remember my light. Now, nobody has to put your hand up about that, but I have a friend right now, one of my best friends in the whole world. She's been my friend, I think we calculated 37 years she's been my friend, and she has a form of cancer. Very strange how it all happened. And the amazing thing is that she is such a light of the world. Have you ever known somebody like that? It's like somebody who knows who they are, they know where they came from, and they know what they're doing. They know they have integrity, they have strength, they have beauty, and they're teachers to us, aren't they? There's some of those people out there in the world, and she's one of them. We went for a walk yesterday. It was kind of cold in the morning, and she doesn't have a lot of hair in the back of her head, so she's got got to put on the hat and the gloves and the scarf, and I've got a T-shirt on, you know. Of course, I was freezing the whole walk. Anyway, she talked about not knowing what would happen, but she's so far away from living in darkness, so far away from living in darkness because she knows the truth of who she is. She knows that the light has come. She knows that she has nothing to fear. And these days, I feel like I see her light more than I've ever seen it in the 37 years that we've been friends. So I welcome that light that shines from her because it teaches me. So we went for a walk and we talked and we're friends, we're sisters. It gave me such joy to be around her. And of course, God always offers us the light every day, right? No matter what's in the sky, no matter what's outside of us, God offers us the light every day. This is one of the strongest and most important healings that was brought to us by Jesus, to see and come closer to that light and to know that it's outside, but it's especially within us. You might recall a story from the Gospel of John. This is one, I just saw somebody dance this story recently. When Jesus said, and his cronies were faced with a blind man before them. I'll kind of remember it with you, for you. So in this story, you know, those disciples, sometimes they got into the weeds. Do you know what I'm talking about? It's like they got into the weeds and they said, so whose fault is this guy's blindness? And are his parents to blame? Poor Jesus, you know. So the story goes that Jesus knelt down, he got into the dirt, he spit into the dirt, made some clay, put the clay on the guy's eyes, and he told the man to wash his hands in the waters. And when he did, the man, to his great surprise, could see. What a great story. Just a little bit of dirt and faith and strength and energy. And what?
Jesus spit.
Yeah, little Jesus spit. Yeah, there's that too. Thank you. Don't want to forget that. Yeah. I can see it. I can see it in the bookstore on the shelves, you know. Get it here. So, yeah, the mom thing. Yeah, yeah. Come here. Let me put this on your eyes. Well, then you know what happened. The Pharisees, the establishment, the doubters, they got into their own heads, and they said, this can't be the blind man that we're always seeing around here. There must be somebody who looks like him. But the man told everybody that he could see. He was blind, and now he could see. He was blind, and now he could see the light. The Pharisees, though, they were not a trusting kind of group. They were not laid back, were they? Never. Not for a second. They were just kind of a tightly wound group. And so they continued with their doubts. Who did this? Who made this happen? And what were they doing working on the Sabbath? Really? This guy can see, you know? I mean, who cares if the store's open today? So who did this? Busybodies, those Pharisees. So while they were doubting and fussing, this man was free for the first time in his life. He could see for the first time in his life, having experienced a healing that he yearned for. He could see. And the Pharisees, God bless them, they just didn't get it. Rather, they wanted to look at what was wrong. They wanted to look at what was wrong instead of what was miraculous and beautiful and healing. So I think that's really amazing. How often do you do that? I do it. Don't you do that sometimes? It's like, well, where'd you get the money to get that new car? Who cares? And it's a new car. It's really nice. It's blessed somebody. Just say, thank you, God. Enjoy the blessings and the miracles, right? Instead of worrying about, well, how did she get on that game show? Well, who cares? Right? I mean, there are blessings around us all the time. Why don't we just say, thank you, God? Okay. That is a big healing. For me, that's a really big healing. We aren't always able to get the healings that we yearn for and to celebrate the healing of other people. In our human state, we sometimes forget that the one who made us is gracious. I'll say that again. The one who made us is gracious. Will you affirm that with me? The one who made us is gracious. Amen. So really beyond our daily understanding and our humanity, beyond measure. There are lots of bright lights in this world, and you know that just like I do. I thought about people in my meditation like you did, people who spread light to those of us who need it. My friend Joyce that I just mentioned, she's one of the lights in my world. Just amazes me. She can't even come up with the right word, and she comes up with the wrong word, and I just shake my head because I kind of know what she means because she's such a light. There's another person I want to tell you about. Has anybody ever heard of Greg Boyle? Do you know that name? Oh, good. I'm going to turn you on to a light. He's a priest who serves gang members in East Los Angeles. And he's been around for a while. I think he's been doing it for about 30 years. He's one of those lights who has listened to the call and listened to what the Creator had in mind for him. So I'm going to tell you what some of the gang members who've worked with him have said. Well, for instance, Fabiola, her name is Fabiola. She has a son named Joe. She was shot 9 times while she was pregnant. 9 times. But he lived. This baby lived. And she now works for this organization called Homeboy Industries. This is an organization that Greg Boyle started, Homeboy Industries. I love the name. helping former gang members find work. And more importantly, they all help each other, and they all help each other grow into the light. Then there's Demetrios. He told a story about his children and cried as he told the story that his four children had all been taken away from him, and now he's out of prison and he has access to visits with his children after all that time. People who've been gang members have been incarcerated, now reunited with their families and their children and their own essential nature, like remembering who they really are with humanity. And this woman, Natalie, she said, "You clearly saw something in me that I wasn't seeing in myself." Homeboy Industries is the largest gang intervention rehabilitation organization in the United States. Look them up. They're just astounding. If you look on, I think you can look on YouTube and see videos of some of these people talking. And if your tear ducts aren't working, look at their videos. You'll get them to work again. So this community has successfully interrupted the idea that there are some people who don't belong to us. How about that? Interrupted the idea that there are some people who don't belong to us, because all people belong to us. You know, when we pray about our small, when I pray about my small world, I pray about my daughter, pray about my dad, I pray about, you know, me, of course. I mean, we all do, right? But then I think about people I don't even know. I see a face in the news or I hear a story, and they all belong to me, don't they? They all belong to us. Greg Boyle, this man who started Homeboy Industries, has received a number of national awards for the work he's done, and he is a light of the world, believe me. Few phrases he uttered that I want to share. He said this, "I've never met an evil person." Nice, huh? "We are called to stand in awe instead of judgment. No one stands outside the circle of compassion." And he said, "Homeboy Industries is about kinship and connection." So I read another story, a person Greg Boyle worked with, a man who was incarcerated. His name was Vince. He became the primary caregiver for his mom. She was on hospice care, and apparently in his early life as a child, his mother was abusive, mentally ill probably. But he was able to get a second chance from Homeboy Industries and the people who work there, and he wore this T-shirt that read, "Jobs, not jails, Homeboy Industries." He had tattoos all over his arms. I saw a picture of him. His neck, his chest, his eyelids, his eyelids. His ears, face, head, hands. And he was riding a train in Los Angeles and had his T-shirt on, right? "Jobs, not jails." And some guy was kind of drunken and approached him and kind of tapped on his shirt and, "Tell me all about this place." Apparently he'd heard of Homeboy Industries. Kind of swaggering, threatening. And Vince said that in the past he might have, you know, responded with confrontation. He might have turned around and punched the guy out or something. But instead, he told the man the story about how his own life had been healed. And then he looked in his pockets for a piece of paper and a pencil, and eventually finding both, he wrote his name and the Homeboy address, and he handed it to the guy, and it said, he said with his own words, something like, "Come see us here, we'll help you." This is a drunken man on the train. Later, Vince told Greg Boyle and the Homeboys, "Everybody on that train, everybody was looking at me, probably expecting something was going to happen." He said, "Everyone was nodding at me, and everyone was smiling at me. For the first time in my life, I felt admired." That's a story, isn't it? At Homeboy, they hear words like this: "We dedicate ourselves to the slow work of God." One more story. This one's about Mario. Tall, skinny, scared. Greg Boyle was invited to speak. He's invited to speak a lot. And he took Mario with him. And he said this, "Only the soul who ventilates the world with tenderness can change the world." Knowing the tenderness of Mario, he said Mario looks like a real tough kid, but he's one of the most tender people that Greg had ever met. So he invited Mario to go with him to this talk, speaking to hundreds of people. Mario was shaky. He was sober, but he was scared and tender. And a woman in the audience asked Mario, "You said you have a couple of teenagers. What do you expect that you can offer these kids? You know, you've been incarcerated, you've had quite a history. What can you offer your children?" And Mario worked really hard to get the words out. He had the microphone like this. And he said, "I just don't want my kids to turn out like me." And there was silence for a moment, a pause. And the woman said, "Well, why wouldn't you? You are loving, you are gentle, you are kind, you are amazing." And hundreds of people stood up and applauded. So the homeboys enter into a kinship with one another, and tenderness is their key. They stand against forgetting. They stand for seeing differently, for second chances, for the healing that we all yearn for. They stand for seeing one another. I mean, isn't that the greatest gift that we can give each other? A quote, "The treatment plan is only as effective as the diagnosis. Humility asks, what would help? Hubris tells you what you need." So in Homeboy, they don't tell people what they need. They ask, how can I help you? So today's Palm Sunday, the story of Jesus being ushered through the streets among a throng of puzzled people who expected him to be very different than he was, didn't they? They wanted him to be a warrior prince. They witnessed his ministry of healing. They witnessed his teaching. They witnessed his tenderness. They witnessed how he saw them, how he touched them, how he encouraged them. And what we know from our teachings in Unity is every character in the scriptures is there for some reason, because they are teaching us something about ourselves, aren't they? Because we know what it's like to be an encourager, hopefully. We know what it's like to be a teacher. We know what it's like to witness healing. So we have that Christ in us, don't we? Don't we? And we also have the Pharisees in us. And we also have the disciples in the weeds in us. I mean, I'll admit to that. We've also been the students struggling to understand the teacher, struggling to stay awake like the disciples in the garden when Jesus said, "Could you just keep your eyes open?" And they couldn't. But there are times when we've all been in doubt, when we've been caught up in our own heads, when we couldn't appreciate the miracle of acceptance, when we couldn't remember our own true beauty and our own true nature, when we couldn't remember that healing always happens and that second chances change people, that we all need a second chance. So all these parts are in us, aren't they? Every character in scriptures, they're in us. We're blessed to have healers in our midst to remind us of God's plan for us. We forget our kinship sometimes, but we do know that when we witness that healing that we all yearn for, when we witness an angel on the bus or a brave disabled person who smiles and thanks us for an act of kindness, a small act of kindness, we know that we get exhausted, but we are not depleted, because we are made of Christ matter, aren't we? We're made of Christ matter. We have what we need. Greg Boyle challenges us when he says, we all get complacent and we need to ask ourselves this question. I love this. What needs to be disrupted? Where is there room in the world for us to make a change? Consider that radical Jesus. It's my favorite way to think of Jesus. That song about the rebel Jesus. And think about the homeboys. So I invite you to hold those homeboys in consciousness this week. Let them be our teachers. Look at them online. You'll listen to their stories. See what you take away from them. And ask yourself, what did the one who created me have in mind? What is the healing I yearn for this Holy Week? Amen. Thank you.